right, we are live today here on the American Journal. Thank you for joining me. You know, I wanted to take this time to just look back at where we were 5 years ago around this time. Here it is.
Alex Jones.
I don't think that's a clip, man.
He's a hugely influential conspiracy theorist.
His ravings are untethered from reality.
It's a nasty piece of work, but I think he's also a deflating windbag.
He's not right in the head.
I'm very pro-free speech, and the word dangerous is used far too liberally. In his case, I think it's actually justified. Yeah.
Could he be a threat to American democracy?
Everyone thinks he's a crazy motherfucker, and they never heard him talk. They think he's just nuts. And he is crazy, he is. But you gotta be crazy to stand in front of the world and put your ass on the line and say the things he's saying. So you gotta be a little crazy. It's like a rock star, like Axl Rose. Oh, he's crazy. Yeah, he's Axl fucking Rose.
There is a war for your mind.
Information is the unlock.
Information war.
I come to you with a spring in my step, a song in my heart, emotionally and spiritually refreshed, because you know how, as humans, we have to accept the fact that sometimes bad things happen to good people? Well, by the grace of God, sometimes bad things happen to Alex Jones.
That's a good thing.
The despicable and ridiculous Alex Jones
deserves every minute of torture.
I don't like giving people like Alex Jones a platform, but
what do? He's out there.
Tucker Carlson continues to fawn over Jones, calling
him one of the most important truth tellers in America today.
What does it mean for the future of InfoWars?
InfoWars.com.
This is InfoWars, right?
I think everybody wants to know, will
he be shut down?
This verdict shuts down Alex Jones? Good.
I guess the good guys just won the InfoWars.
He is the number one threat to these people.
Take the bullhorn away.
You know, kicked us off the internet, tried to ban our IP, got banks to cancel us, lawsuits, censorship, investigations from the FBI. I mean, everything has been thrown at us.
Take him out. Make certain he can't rebuild the platform.
That's what matters.
I hope that we never see someone like him again.
InfoWars.com lives. People can come to my show every day, 11 a.m. Central, and they can hear what I'm actually saying, Piers, versus what you're trying to put in my mouth.
You got God's warriors coming together like the SWAT team of free thought.
It has become more than ever a litmus test as to whether you get what's going on in the world or not.
This is InfoWars, right?
If you don't get what Alex Jones represents, if you can't recognize that Alex Jones is the real deal, you don't get anything.
We're going to give this information on InfoWars.
You have no concept of the wider perspective here. If you still can't see through the lies that are telling you that Alex Jones is somehow not who he says he is, you still can't get it.
We've been fighting this battle for a long time, Alex, and we just got to salute you as a Christian and as American, because you paved the way to make braver soldiers like us today.
This is about good versus evil and God fighting the devil. You got to pick a side now.
InfoWarriors.
All we ever do is promote human freedom of every race, color, and creed. Our message is really imperative for everyone to understand, like, this is the way out. It's about understanding that every single human being has a right to live their life the way they want, unmolested and uncontrolled by those with more power than them. So no matter what they say about us, no matter how they want to portray us, just know that InfoWars really represents something totally unique, totally special, and an existential threat to the most vicious, evil, totalitarian, and importantly, miserable people on the earth. Who is the number one player in all of this? Who is the number one symbol of alternative media and, you know, internet content? It is
the legend that is Alex Jones, and you were fighting on the front line, and now we're here with you. You got some other superheroes part of the Avenger movie fighting for Christ and free speech.
Folks, we really are going to save this country, and we really are going to save this planet.
On InfoWars, think about that for a second.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 98% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry, the InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time, so take action now, InfoWarsStore.com.
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Rob Dew. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, we are live. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Thank you for joining me. And make a little audio adjustment there. Welcome to The American Journal. This is my last... final day hosting this show for the visible future. Brianna Morello will be back tomorrow. And what I wanted to do, we actually the system bumped and played the wrong clip. You hit one and it jumped to the other one. Sometimes it does that. but I found this perusing the internet, and I think I commented, I said, people are going to think this was bad AI in 10 years, this clip. But what this is where we were 5 years ago in our world. It was 2020. You know, I don't know if this was November 2020, but around this time, this thing appeared. And so I just want to remind you where we were and then where we are today. So we're going to watch. Here's where we were. Here it is.
Dr. Fauci,
if I had to suffer,
give us vaccines, help all the people who have been quarantined. We'll wear our masks and we'll have to stay distant. We'll wash our hands and we'll be more resistant. Fauci, yes? Promise us, please. We'll have a cure that can fight off this disease. Restrictions will lift with some ease. Dr. Fauci, don't forget me.
I'll take a bow. Isn't that sweet?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, in the future, people are going to look at that and go, was that AI? Like, no, there's no way humans did that. Like, got together and did that. It had to be done with an AI computer with a sick sense of humor. But no, that was actually humans trying to psyop other people into taking vaccines. Now, let's fast forward to 5 years. Here's a lady, going through a basic medical procedure, and it looks like they're pulling a giant clot out of her arm, and she's admitting to taking the Pfizer vaccine. Here it is.
Okay. We're getting a clot out of her outflow vein.
Totally normal.
Look at that. And you said you had the Pfizer vaccine, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. That could be the spike protein, hydrogel clots.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
How do you feel getting that out?
So good.
It's a relief, right?
Oh, my God. All right. Get them a lot.
Flight to California from Canada, it's all worth it. All right.
So there it is. You can see the little picture there. If you bring up that still again, show people. This is what they're pulling out of people today. Okay. No, that's not it. Like I said, there's some glitches going on this morning. it's these weird systems. They're trying to think for you is how I discuss these systems. But it's interesting. So what happened over the weekend? Well, once again, my suspicions were confirmed. Our government hates us and wants us dead. That's basically what I could say. I don't think it matters what administration at this point, where we're going. They don't want to tell us anything. They want to lie to us. And I'm going to get to that later. And, you know, now there's a Trump MAGA Civil War brewing, I guess is what they're saying, with MTG and Donald Trump. I'll read those texts out in case you missed them over the weekend, although you probably saw them because it was everywhere. I couldn't get away from it. To me, it's just for what I think happened. Well, I'll tell you about that later. We'll read the text and I'll tell you what I think happened to the whole, how that thing rolled out. And maybe that could be patched. I mean, we've seen Trump and Elon patch things up. So I think this can totally be patched up. But going on with, so we just saw this video of the lady getting the clot pulled out of her. And there's been talks of DNA being found in these vaccines. So I'm going to go to two clips real quick. These are from Jessica Rose. Dr. Jessica Rose was at a conference in Austin last week. And this is a real short clip, but just talking about how in every single vial they tested, they found DNA that wasn't supposed to be there, you know, because, well, when you're making billions and billions of vaccines, well, it leaves the whole system ripe for contamination, either accidental or on purpose. You know, it just happens to be the same contaminant that they put in the vaccines back in the polio shot in the 50s, though. Just, okay, just so you know that. That's what it happens to be. But here's Dr. Jessica Rose talking about it. And then we're going to look at some of the results. And it's interesting. It's PCR stuff. So we could see what they were doing when they were testing people for the PCR for COVID back in 2020. And then what they're finding now with way less cycles. But here's the first clip.
We investigated whether or not there was DNA, not mRNA, DNA in the Pfizer and Moderna vials that we tested. And in every single vial that we tested, we found loads of DNA way over the EMA limits that are established. We're talking about lipid nanoparticle encapsulated DNA. And the modus operandi of these things is to traffic to cells and get inside and dump whatever payload they're carrying, be it RNA, nucleoside modified RNA, siRNA, or DNA.
So there you go. Hey, you know, everyone we found, Moderna, Pfizer, doesn't matter, tested with DNA. So now we're going to go, this is basically a computer screen. In fact, you guys could come over my shoulder real quick and I'll explain to what people are looking at before we go to it. Let's see. Let's get the pen here. So tell me when you're there and we will, we got to, this is basically showing the different DNA readouts. So these are PCR cycles. And I think this is about 9 or 10 right here. So you can't really read it there. And this is like 40 up here. This is what they would normally do to find COVID. They would run it 40 cycles. So they would overcycle it. And then they're like, oh, we found COVID in you right here, over here. But here they're finding DNA in the Pfizer vaccine. So that's what this is representing. So we're going to go to it. And then you're going to see what the difference is between 40 and 10. It's a lot. I mean, it's millions of times worse. And the worse you go is this way. So back in the day, if they ran it 10 cycles, they wouldn't have found COVID. But if they run it 40, oh, then it shows up. So then they were getting these high test scores. But let's just look at this. This is about the DNA in the vaccine. So here it is.
Tenfold diluted, so you have to take and move it 3 CTs over.
Look at that.
But that's the hottest lot we've ever seen.
Explain to everyone in the universe why.
Typically, like if you remember the speaker paper, these CTs were coming out at like 20. 10 CTs is a 1,000-fold difference.
What does that mean to the people who don't know what this means?
This means the vials that you guys have from Japan are maybe 500 to 1,000 times more concentrated than what we had in our paper. In terms of how much DNA is there?
Wow.
Yeah.
So basically, for the real layman, the earlier you see these lines come up on this axis here, the more DNA you have, the hotter the lot.
Yeah, so this is coming up. Maybe it's not 10. Maybe that's coming up at, that's a 15 cycle. So that's probably.
Yeah, but it's still
that's
like 11.
It's probably coming at 11. And we tenfold diluted these, so that's going to back it all the way back to like an 8, a CT of 8. On DNA. For those not familiar with this, they were calling people positive
Pause it real quick. So they're diluting the vials. They're not even testing like a full load. They're diluting the vials and they're getting those readings earlier on, 10 and 11, I think they said that earlier one was 11, but because they're diluting it, it should be about an 8 if you take into account the dilution. Here we go. Let's continue.
He's out at 35.
Well, in Atlantic provinces, it was 45.
Jeez. Yeah, so yeah. We're talking
about... I have the piece of paper that they circulated. This,
so they find like
this
three.
Here, this is a million-fold more concentrated as an injectable contaminant than the virus they're calling people positive for.
Are you guys people... are you understanding what we're showing here? Like,
oh, so blue these spike.
These were sealed... vials.
These are untouched by anybody. Yeah, you guys, we have video of you guys cracking the seals on those, okay? So that's the spike signal for that lot. That is, I think you guys did them in duplicate, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
So that might be a little bit off because you guys did a multi-channel P10 pipetter. So you might see an offset, a slight offset like this because you did two different shots in there. And
are my dupes
now
good?
Over here, this is...
my dupes are good.
Yeah, we don't need to look at Sci-5 right now. I think we're looking at Texas Red right there. Okay, so that is...
Oh, they're very good.
That's the SV40 region. Moving down. What happened to that guy?
Oh,
that's Moderna. That's where they are.
Oh, no.
So, I don't know. That's expected. Moderna has no SV40.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah. It's SV40. That's great.
Yeah, made you think like you screwed up, didn't I?
Yes.
I had you there.
Yes. But now I'm relieved because.
But if you go down here, you'll see you're getting not a problem with spike. Now, this is something we also saw in speaker, the speaker paper, right? And in Moderna, this is one of those lots that has this much offset between spike and the vector. Why? This region of the plasmid digests.
Yep.
And that RNA protects that DNA from getting destroyed. The enzyme they're using cannot destroy DNA-RNA hybrids. So they're measuring over here to pass the test to know that if they measured over here, they would be over the limit. This is how retarded the EMA is. Say that again. Retarded. They're getting away with measuring here. Now, the thing that's crazy about this, if you go through the EMA documents... Pfizer has an assay for spike, but they will not use that to measure the DNA.
That's correct. That's correct.
Yes.
I actually learned that recently.
Yeah. And this is why they're not using it, because if they did, they would be failing by orders of magnitude
and
they're letting them use
it.
This.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So Moderna tends to do that once in a while, is they have a big offset between spike and ORI.
Interesting.
Right there. In fact, let's see what the Pfizer is doing. The Pfizer's offset too. Yeah, Pfizer's got an offset between spike and ORI as well. So they're getting the same game that's happening. And then you get up into the SV40s and you only see this in the Pfizer stuff. So you can quickly scan through here and be like Pfizer, Pfizer, Pfizer. No, wait, Pfizer, Pfizer. Moderna, Moderna, Moderna. Pfizer, Pfizer, Pfizer.
So they're looking at the DNA and the contaminated DNA, some of which is SV40, some of which is not. Then they're looking at spike protein and looking at the differences between spike protein and DNA, and you can see the offset. First you're hitting the DNA, then you're hitting the spike protein. And that's what people were putting into their body, and now they're pulling clots out. So, once again, we told you a long time ago, of course, don't put those things into your body because they can't, they're not being tested right and they're not being created right. And it was done on purpose. So now I want to move to kind of what a continuation of what we were talking about on Friday. We had the farmer on from New Jersey, the hemp farmer. This is the, let's see. I don't even know if this clip is in here. Probably not. No, it's probably still on my drive. Well, we're not going to go to that unless y'all can find this. Yeah, I'm just looking at this now. I don't see it on here. All right, well, let's do this. Let's go look at where this is, like kind of a Whitney Webb warning people what's going to happen with RFK Jr. This is an older clip, I think from 2019, 2020. No, it had to be later than that. I don't know. But what has happened is the deputy, so, you know, Todd Blanch is the deputy DOJ head over at, you know, the Department of Justice. He's the deputy director. So he basically gets to run the DOJ. Pam Bondi's sort of like a figurehead. She goes on TV. She's in charge of everything. She signs off on everything, but she's not running it. And so RFK Jr., same thing. He's running it. And when he sees stuff and he catches wind of stuff, he's able to fix it, which is why we're here to tell him about these things. But he's got the guy underneath him, Jim O'Neill, who was appointed by Trump, who's sort of a, you know, a creature of the pharma companies. And that's why you're seeing, you know, stuff like, oh, we're going to give people cheaper Ozempic instead of, you know, well, I guess they are revamping the food pyramid as well, but we're also giving people cheaper Ozempic instead of getting rid of the COVID shots and investigating Fauci for what he did. But here's Whitney Webb warning people back in the day that we needed to watch out for who's going to be the deputy director of the HHS. Here it is.
Well, you have to wonder why Trump decided to appoint RFK Jr. as head of HHS and then appoint Jim O'Neill as the deputy HHS secretary, because, yes, it absolutely does seem to conflict rather jarringly. And the fact that O'Neill in his position, if confirmed, would be managing the day-to-day operations of HHS, including what the FDA does, what the CDC does, and things of that nature. He could easily undermine any sort of MAHA policy that RFK tries to impose.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. That's what I'm worried about. He'd be undermining everything he does. You'd have somebody sort of gatekeeping and not allowing... We know these chiefs of staff... Right. I mean, they keep things from the president right all the time. So he might not even be aware that someone was trying to meet with him.
Yes.
To raise a red flag concern. If he's doing that in this role at HHS, then RFK Jr. might not be aware of certain things. I don't know.
Yes,
it's really troubling.
Exactly. And also the chief of staff that was appointed to essentially manage, you know, RFK's portfolio, who's going to be the chief of staff for him, is a woman named Heather Flick, who was previously played a major role in HHS under Trump's previous HHS secretary, Alex Azar, who is a former head of Eli Lilly, a major pharmaceutical company, and has sort of been blamed for some of the big pharma patronage that happened in the you know, early COVID-19 era before the Biden administration came in. And, you know, she's essentially been framed as someone that will keep, you know, basically babysit RFK Jr. At least that's sort of how the Wall Street Journal recently framed it. And what exactly does that mean when you combine her appointment?
Okay. We're going to restart. I would say go ahead and restart it, and I'll just, you could just keep me on camera one. Yeah. So what happens sometimes is the glitches lead to, you know, it's, I wonder if it had anything to do with the forensic audit that was going on here. Yeah. Interesting. So as part of the, this happened before. They had a same guy, actually, same company that comes in and has to, I guess, from the court, grab all the information on all the computers, was here last week. And he did, I think he did this studio Friday afternoon. And now we're having glitches. So isn't that interesting? So we better tell the other guys, they better check stuff and run through things a couple times in the other studios, because that's probably going to carry over everywhere else. So, very interesting. So, in the second hour, let me just tell you what's coming up. In the second hour, we're going to have Julio Rosas. He's in Mexico. I don't think we have the footage right now, but you might have seen it over the weekend of the different clashes going on. We even caught, I think Julio caught on camera a actual nut punch that happened to a Mexican police officers. I'm not sure what these guys are, guards. Here's the nut punch. There it is, right there. Ow. I mean, the people are pissed. These are anti-Sheinbaum people. Sheinbaum, you know, that's a Mexican name, right? Sheinbaum? That's just weird. So he's going to be on, he was boots on the ground talking about He's going to give us a full rundown of what's going on in the second hour. And in the third hour, I want to play a couple clips. People have been doing audits. You know, citizen journalists have been doing their own audits of TPUSA, just looking at it, see what's going on. And they're finding like four different companies, and they're, some companies have no employees, but they get a bunch of money, and they haven't filed the proper tax paperwork yet. It looks like Charlie Kirk was probably, and I'm speculating, I'm 100% speculating, he was probably murdered because he asked too many questions into the finances of where everything was going. And I think that's what happened. I don't think his knowing the Bible front to back and being quick on his feet weren't act at all. I think he was that genuine type of person, and they needed that type of person to be the figurehead of this group. But you know, it shows that they were getting rid of a lot of employees, but also getting higher payroll costs. So there's definitely something going on with that. And I think Candace kind of alluded to that in her post, you know, saying, you know, Charlie was betrayed by everyone. And I don't think it had anything to do with Israelis necessarily, unless they're the ones laundering the money through there. But it looks like there's probably some money laundering going on. I hate to say it. But when I look at, you know, I watched Tucker's expose on Thomas Crooks over the weekend, and it's not even, you watch that and you're like, well, this information could be shared with the American people. Okay. The guy was, you could look at his posts. He was actually very right wing in his posts. You could see but that could have been an act too. He's saying things like, you know, hang Ilhan Omar and hang who, Robert Mueller, and we should line the Democrats up and shoot them. Stuff like that. Stuff you would expect a Fed to say, honestly. If you were, you know, going to typecast somebody as a Fed, that's the kind of things the Fed would say online with their name, you know, not a fake name. You know, Tom Crooks was the name he had in YouTube. So I'm watching this morning, and I'm just like, well, they could have told us this. And then suddenly he becomes anti-Trump, and then he goes silent after it was something Tepes, Wally Tepes, or I'll look it up in a little bit. But something Tepes. Tepes was interesting because that was the last name of Count Dracula, Vlad Tepes, T-E-P-E-S. And this guy has contact with Thomas Crooks, and suddenly Crooks goes silent. But he's still, you know, training at the same gun range. I think what you're going to find out there is that was a FBI project. He was a project. He was a guy they found. And instead of going after him after making these online posts, they said, oh, no. Come. We have a job for you. You want to be a secret agent? Let's do it. Here's some weed. Here's some drugs. Whatever. Here's some guns. Here's some bombs that don't work. Come on, we're going to help you out. We're going to teach you how to be a secret agent. That's what our government does. And for some reason, the Trump administration doesn't want to say that's what's going on. I don't know.
Barring a miracle in the courts, InfoWars should be shut down somewhere close to January 1st. But that's just a website. It's just these studios. The InfoWar belongs to the people of America and the world. Population doing their own research, getting involved with the community, and studying what the globalists are doing, exposing them and resisting them. And we've come from basically 1% of the population knowing what was happening 31 years ago when I got involved in the fight, to close to half of the people, not just in America, but around the world, being incredibly awake and engaged and informed. So that's so exciting. And we have fought so hard together, that's why we've been targeted, because the globalists want to take us off the air so that we can't continue to tell the truth. But this operation is just one manifestation of the InfoWars. So I want to thank all of you over the decades. InfoWars has been around 28 years for not just supporting the InfoWar, but being the InfoWar. Now, that said, the legendary shopping cart, InfoWarsStore.com, with all the great products that kept us on the air through all those fights, it's still up and operating. Everything is still being shipped out.
within a day or two of your orders coming in. And two of our fan favorites are available for the last time at InfoWarsStore.com. These just came in, brand new, fresh, Ultimate Fish Oil, the three certified best types of fish oil that do such incredible things for your body. Last up to 18 to 24 months, so you can also save it if you need to. And again, it is documented to be so good for your mind, your cardiovascular system, your immune system, and so much more. Fish oil, period, is great. Ours is the highest grade because it's been cold pressed, meaning it wasn't heated up or boiled. It wasn't homogenized. So you get the full effect. That is back in stock for a limited time for 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com. And Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. It's been out now for 8 years. Hard to believe that. When we first did this with a top manufacturer, no one else had ever done it. We went to him. We said, what's the strongest turmeric concentrate on the market? And they said about 75%, and we put it out. That's what we'd gone to them. We said, well, how high can you go? They said 95% curcuminoid. That's what is the thing that does the great effects of anti-inflammatory, overall health, immune system, you name it, in turmeric. And they explained, listen, you don't need to go that high. Just raw turmeric capsules are 4%, and people get amazing, amazing responses from it. 75 is just over the top. I said, no, go 95%. Now the industry, all over the place, has gone to 95% curcuminoid. So we are continuing to trailblaze and be leaders in this. So it is your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site and the legendary fight. Thank you so much for your support. Now stock up while you can on Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Rob Due. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I looked it up. It was Willie Tepe. Even weirder. Like, that's a total government name. Willie. I call myself Willie Tepe. And so you're looking at this and you're like, you know, why doesn't the FBI just put this information out? Hey, we had some rogue agents running this thing. Because, you know, that's what they do. In order to justify their existence, they create terror. That's what they do. And maybe Bongino didn't know that when he got in there, and then they kind of told him, and then he's like, well, maybe I should leave. And they're like, no, you can't leave now. Now you know the secret. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, he worked in Secret Service. He obviously knows how government works. You know, but they just, hey, we're just going to hide this information because we don't want to let the public know that that's what we do, even though, you know, they do it so much. It's called the 6 week cycle, where every 6 weeks they either thwart an attack or something happens. And, oh, the guy was talking with FBI informants, because that's how, you know, it was a planned op. Anytime they show something, or they stop something, they're like, an FBI informant tipped us off. Oh, amazing. You have FBI informants in all the right places. Which is probably why you'll never figure out, they'll never tell you who really killed Charlie Kirk. You know, this Tyler Robinson was probably involved, but I doubt he shot a 30-06 and his neck stopped it. I just don't think that happened. Going back to the vaccine news, this went out on the 15th with the Telegraph. This is a little Orwellian, if you want to pop over top of here. Government withholding data that may link COVID jab to excess deaths. UK HSA argued that releasing figures would lead to distress or anger of bereaved relatives if the connection were discovered. Imagine that. And the Jewel says, formerly known as a cover-up, is now just withholding. It's now withholding. And we're just going to withhold that information. You know, it's more proof. And our... The governments of Britain and the United States are so entrenched, you know, with the Five Eyes, everybody sharing intelligence with each other. When they tell you they don't know what's going on, they know exactly what's going on. And that's why they're setting everything up for the digital ID. Let's go to this clip. And I'm wondering, I may open up the phone lines. Just getting these turning point revelations and then the Thomas Crooks over the weekend, looking at all that. And you're just like, wow, we're never, ever, ever going to get the government we want at this rate. It's never going to happen. And yeah, I think there's some great things Trump's doing. The hemp ban, not one of them. You know, and he signed it. So he probably didn't know it was in there, but he's going to find out. I think there's too many. In fact, here's the meme. There's too many veterans and seniors that are getting selves off alcohol and big pharma drugs and going to hemp. And, you know, this is going to be the boomers' last stand. The boomers want their CBD gummies. And I think you're gonna see that. And then the people that are growing this stuff and, you know, the entrepreneurs aren't gonna take this, you know, lying down, because this is a $26 billion industry they're gonna try to destroy overnight. But let's go back to this clip. This is a young man, I believe he's from Ireland, talking about the digital ID and how this new digital ID that they've created in the wake of COVID is going to go way beyond social credit scores. And then I'm going to show you the chart he refers to in the video. And we're going to go over it. And so let's go. Let's hear from our friends across the pond.
Digital IDs are way worse and way more dangerous than you could imagine. I am a software developer, okay? And I'm going to give you some software reasons why this is so much more dangerous than the things you already know, okay? Please, please, please watch this the whole way through. Share, like, comment. Share it with everyone. Everyone needs to know this because they need to know what they are opposing, okay? The first thing I want to say is to everyone saying it's only used for right to work, go on the World Economic Forum's website where they've got the digital ID up and it's like a picture with like 10 things around it about what they're going to use it for, okay? So first off, that reason's out. Here's the technical reasons of why it's so dangerous. Now, we already know about social credit score, we already know about carbon footprint, all these things that it could be, okay? But here's two technical things that are going on with the digital ID that you need to know, okay? Apple's safety and privacy on their phones has been one of their main selling points, and they've never laid down to any government when they've asked for access. Even when the police would arrest someone with an iPhone, they would struggle to break in because of Apple's advanced security features. That's the official name, okay? End-to-end encryption. Are you following, okay? The UK have now somehow made it that in the last couple of weeks that Apple have now to disable that on all UK phones. So if you have a phone in the UK, and it's an iPhone, sorry, you will notice in your privacy settings that you will not have the ability to turn that feature on anymore. You won't even have the feature, okay? Because the government have now made them turn it off, right? The reason so that they can have access to what they deem as a national threat, okay? whatever that means. The second thing, right, there's a thing right now called chat control, which a lot of people are fighting against right now, okay? Chat control is basically where there's like an AI or an LLM based on your device, a piece of software, right, that tracks every stroke of your keyboard, right? Every time you press something, whether it's in Snapchat, whether it's in messages, whether it's in notes, whether it's in WhatsApp, whether it's in like your private journal app, right? It collects this data and then it will categorize you. And who does that with the, does what with the categorization? It gets sent off to, you guessed it, whoever it is, the servers, the government, the World Economic Forum, the evil people at the top of that, right? They will then categorize you in something by surveilling you like this. People do not understand this chat control thing. And with Apple's thing happening there, all in the UK, right, how serious and how dangerous this surveillance thing is. It's way beyond carbon footprint. It's way beyond social credit score. This is so deep, and they need the first domino to fall, which is to get this digital ID out there and for people to be on it. So I'm asking you, please share this video. People need to know so they know what they need to reject. Okay? Please, please, please share this.
All right, so let's look at the chart he was going to, and I'll show you where you could find your own copy of that. Or I'll flip this article so you can see the headline of this article right here. How digital identity can improve lives in a post-COVID-19 world. That's from the World Economic Forum. It was put out in 2021. So these things take a while to come to fruition, but, you know, these are all the things that digital identity is going to help you with. It's going to help you with your health care. You know how everybody's health information is now out there and digitized? Well, they're going to be sharing it between the services. So now you're going to have all kinds of people contacting you about everything else. Financial services, they're going to be watching every transaction on your bank account. Did you know in the EU, it's going to be illegal in 2027 to do a cash transaction for a car. It has to be done over the bank, and you can't have more than 10,000, I think, euros in your house. If you have 15,000, you got 5,000 illegal euros, and they could be confiscated by the government. That's all coming. They're getting rid of cash. They want it all to go digitally. Food and sustainability. Okay, so they're trying to make it, for farmers and consumers to verify performance of produce and enhance the value. Now, this is to... They're going to basically cut off your access to food. Oh, you're eating too much meat. You've seen the visions of the future. Travel and mobility. Well, you just go look at China. How many people have been banned from traveling? Humanitarian response. Well, do you want to get aid from the government? You have to have your digital ID. You better have that. E-commerce. You want to participate in online? Well, we have to know who you are, and we have to know everything you're getting. Same with social platforms. Same with e-government, which will probably turn to some weird voting system. You know, we're going to trade in voting machines for online cloud-based voting. Oh, nothing going to happen there. And the AI will determine who the winner was. Telecommunications, smart cities. That's all what's going to be invested in your digital ID footprint. And I like this. They even allude here. There's a part about Canada I thought was interesting. How they need the need for trust, the human-centric digital identities to rebuild the economy. Okay, as proven in Canada, a digital ID ecosystem is not only to monitor and connect people and governments and the private sector in a trusted, transparent way, but also accelerates participation in the economy, work, and mobility. Okay, so if they're going to accelerate participation, they could also accelerate non-participation. Remember what they did to the truckers, where they started canceling their bank cards and bank accounts, freezing their bank accounts? Oh, well, that's part of your friendly little neighborhood digital ID right there. I'm your friend. See, I'm here. I got a couple of eyes. I'm smiling. You don't see the horns that are right there, but they're right there. They're right there. Speaking of horns, I saw this clip over the weekend. Guys, it's the one that starts with CERN. It's number 16. CERN is admitting they're communicating with entities from the other side. Where is that other side? Is it another dimension? Is it another reality? Who knows? But CERN, and you've seen the opening ceremonies of CERN and the Swiss tunnels and everything else out there. Very satanic looking. Well, let's go to the clip now.
This collider, mm-hmm. and these beings that they're in communication with. So we're talking about
the premier scientists on planet Earth right now, who are actively engaged, according to their own words, communicating with something, something with a personality, in their own words, in a from another dimension. And that's the purpose of the collider. I mean, people need to understand, this is not science fiction, this is fact.
That's correct. What I write about in my novels,
right,
I place a storyline that is embedded with science fact. Everything that I present publicly in the books, public speaking, is all drawn from their own scientific journals and white papers. And then I'm able to see what they're doing. Not just extrapolate, but see in the real time what it is they're doing. Not a future agenda, but what they're doing right now today. The imminency of what they intend to do, which is opening this gateway. And understand that the world of science in terms of particle physics also overlaps into DNA, into biology.
Yes.
There's a multifaceted, multi-level agenda at play, not just with CERN, but it's proof of concept feeder labs around the world that feed into CERN. So we are talking about change.
So that's probably your weirdest clip of the day we'll show. There's the, that might have been, I think this is, I'm not sure if this is real or not, but this one, is this real? Okay, this is the opening ceremonies of CERN. I mean, oh, this is the outside. Okay, because I'm thinking of the inside one. Yeah, look, there's the little demon goddess being projected. And you can see the 666 in CERN. It's all there, you know. The governments of the world are communicating with entities from other dimensions on novel ways to kill us. And people are finding out and people are getting mad. You see it down in Mexico. I'm going to have my guest in next hour talking about what he's seeing on the ground in Mexico. I tell you what, though, let's go ahead and let's open up the phone lines. Let's get dirty here. 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. I've got some interesting clips from the Islamists out there that they're saying things like, quote, Islamic domination is a matter of time, and we must challenge the status quo and change the laws step by step until we have everything. That's your religion of peace. And they want to, they've got Michigan, parts of Michigan, and now they're coming for Texas. And they're not, and you know, Austin, you don't see it that much, but you go to Dallas, they get in the streets, they're beating their chests. Just to let you know they're here for peace. Because that's what peaceful people do. Did you know about the OPT program? Which is, you know, they might get rid of H-1B visas, but there's a whole other program that they've designed to continually screw the American worker. So this is from Numbers USA, and they're talking about the OPT program. It's actually where companies get an incentive not to hire Americans. Imagine that. Imagine that in this world. All right, here it is.
Messed up is our immigration system. There is a program that gives a discount to employers who don't hire Americans. The program is called Optional Practical Training, a completely Orwellian name for a program that puts foreign students and graduates into U.S. jobs that have no enforceable wage protections. Student visa holders participate because OPT allows them to stay and work in the U.S. when their student visa wouldn't. Universities love it because now they're selling not just education, but access to the U.S. labor market. And employers love it because they don't have to pay payroll taxes for OPT workers. That's about an 8% savings for every position filled through the OPT, a financial incentive from the federal government to not hire an American worker. Not surprisingly, OPT is the most popular guest worker program in the country. It costs Americans hundreds of thousands of jobs and costs Social Security $1 billion a year, but it provides young, captive, foreign labor at a premium discount. And it was never voted on. Congress didn't create the OPT program. The program, as we know it today,
this is the best
made
part.
Up by the Department of Homeland Security after speaking with an industry lobbyist at a dinner party. The entire purpose of OPT is to get around the limits Congress put on guest worker programs. It's a finger in the eye of Congress. It's a finger in the eye of American workers. It's a finger in the eye of American students. It should be abolished.
So when Trump comes back and says, oh, all right, we'll get rid of H-1B visas. What's even worse is going to be the OPT program, which was created by the Department of Homeland Security. So maybe somebody ought to talk to Border Barbie and see if she could get rid of that program. Because if it was created by the Department of Homeland Security, can it be abolished by the Department of Homeland Security? Or do we have to go through the process of making it a law that they can't have programs that circumvent Congress? No other agency is allowed to create employment programs, you know, like. But that's what's going to happen. They're going to say, hey, we're going to get rid of H-1B visas. Everyone's going to be like, victory. And you still got the OPT. All right, let's go to Tim in California. Wants to talk about CERN. We just played that video on CERN, how they're admittedly communicating with entities on the other side. Go ahead. Greetings, Tim the Sorcerer from California.
I don't know if I'm a sorcerer, Rob, but I'll tell you what. I've called into the American Journal several times over the years with this CERN stuff. And as you pointed out, Shiva, the goddess of destruction, was there above ground at the gates of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to keep in mind that this thing is the world's largest machine. It is the world's largest machine.
Largest machine.
It really is. I'm just telling you, it's like 20 some odd miles in diameter or whatever. And yeah. They are currently, they've already got the plans approved for one that's three times as large. And I believe it's 66 something miles in diameter or something. Same sort of thing. But and just to show you how crazy this is, you remember Dr. Stephen Hawking? The guy all twisted up in the wheelchair, world-renowned physicist that had to talk with a computer. You remember
yeah.
that
oh,
guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's what he had to say about the stuff that they're playing around with there at the LHC, the Large Hadron Collider.
Tell me.
At CERN. Here's what he said. He said it could cause the entire universe to undergo catastrophic vacuum decay, and that this would happen at the speed of light and without warning.
That's pretty quick.
So in other words, these guys could just basically destroy the universe. You know, the whole thing would start imploding in where the Earth once used to be, you know, and just this would all just happen at lightning speed. No one would ever even know what's happening. And these clowns are not content with the one that they have. They want one that's three times bigger. But all I can tell you is back, I think it was 2008, they started building it. It took them 10 years to build it till 2018 when they fired it up. They got tens of thousands of scientists from all over the world working in this thing and on this thing and stuff. And even in the beginning, they were talking about, hey, man, they're having problems. Like they're having these things where almost like ChatGPT's having hallucinizations. A similar thing. Hey, we're getting into these, maybe you want to call them dimensions or whatever, but contacts with things from things that we don't even understand. This is one of my concerns, too, about this ChatGPT thing. I'm thinking, hey, man, you guys are basically making an electronic Ouija board. Do you really want that? Is that really what you want? You want to make a contact with something that's from another side and so forth? But I do.
Well, yeah, I think they do want that. They think they're getting they're getting information. They're getting knowledge.
And
you can see that they're promoting that with that opening ceremony that we were playing over while you were talking about CERN, which was really cool. We're playing this opening ceremony footage. Not that the footage is cool, but just how you're talking about how this thing is a demonic portal, and these people all look like they want to be part of this demonic portal. The way they're dancing and it's weird. This is not normal. We're watching. I don't know if you're watching it right now, but this isn't normal. Normal people don't act like this. Normal people build buildings and have, you know, societies and, you know.
Well,
what I don't know what this is, what they're showing us, but this is crazy. What they're trying to.
Listen to what you just said. You said build. Here's the two forces that are competing. The forces are creation versus destruction. These are the two forces that are competing. Creation versus destruction.
You're right.
And we see it everywhere, in everything. And the Bible makes all this stuff clear. And it tells us, hey, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. And I'm not even a Bible thumper. You know, I'm an old guy now. I've read it a few times. But I'm just telling you, man, it is creation versus destruction. And whenever you see all these brilliant scientists, they're all like, even in the cartoons, it'd be like, you know, mad scientists. they all have lost their minds. They create these bird flu pandemics for dozens of years in hundreds of locations all over planet Earth. And, you know, what good could ever come from that? And for that matter, they create all these new weapons that none of us even know about. And there's even this discussion now, the president of the United States, President Trump, said, we can even change time. And I don't know when it was, maybe 10 or 15 years ago. I didn't hear this. I just kind of came up with it on my own. But I said to myself, you know what? I have a funny feeling that all these little spaceships and things that their people say or they're seeing and so forth, if there is anything, it's us. It's us from the future coming back in time, basically as space tourists, to go see something that happened long ago. I don't know. I sound crazy. I know.
Yeah, just, you know.
Whenever you talk about CERN, man.
What we're watching right now is crazy. And what you're talking is this is what you think they're up to. And so, but when you're watching what they're doing, the play that they're showing in front of the world right now of this opening ceremony, I mean, it's just weird. And there's a giant goat creature walking around. With these hairy, like, those are like the African hairy monsters or whatever those things are called. I mean, it's bizarre. That's all I can say. And like, these are the people that want to run your life, you know, and they don't want you to have children. That's people are bad for the earth. These are the people telling you that humans are bad for the earth that walk around and act like this. That's my problem with it, you know. Hey, thanks for your call, Tim. Tim the Sorcerer, that's from Monty Python, but you probably know that, don't you? Oh, yeah. We got Tim the Sorcerer from Seattle now. All right, Tim, thanks for calling. Interesting. Tim, I'm gonna take your thunder here, but let's bring on Tim the Sorcerer. But here's the headline from Gateway Pundit. Oh, you know what? We're out. I'm going to bring you in that first five. We're going to talk about this. It has to do with the Epstein Files and President Trump. I'm not going to say anything else. We're going to come back after break. You're going to see.
You can judge a man by the enemies he dares to defy. He stands against those who would chain the voice of freedom, battling shadowy forces that seek to silence truth. He rises against those who would disarm the people, a lone sentinel guarding the rights of the many. Through the fire of unjust legal warfare, he fights. Not for himself, but for those who cannot. Stripped of wealth, betrayed by systems, yet driven by an unyielding hunger for justice. On the altar of truth, he swears an oath, enduring relentless assaults, slander, schemes, and ceaseless attacks.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
InfoWars is shutting down.
And he remains unbroken, unbowed, unstoppable. His enemies thought they could crush him, thought they could bury his resolve. They were wrong. From the ashes of their lies, he rises stronger. A beacon of defiance in a world of shadows. His enemies reveal his strength, his courage, his heart. But this fight is not his alone. It belongs to every soul who yearns for truth, who dares to stand tall. Will you join him? Will you rise against the tide of tyranny? For a man is not defined by the enemies he faces, but by the fire he carries within. Stand with him. Fight for truth. The battle begins now.
forged in the fires of liberty. The Alex Jones Network Live app stormed to number one in Apple's trending news apps. Big tech tried to bury it, but freedom's flame can't be extinguished. AJN Live delivers raw truth, uncensored broadcasts, hard-hitting reports, and live alerts the elites dread. Don't let censorship win. Download now. Stand tall. Join the fight. AJN Live, forged by liberty, powered by truth.